are listening to ListCast. If you'd like to get in touch with us, leave a comment, or perhaps suggest a top 5 list for us to do on the show, you can drop us a line at listcast5@gmail.com or visit our website at listcast.podomatic.com. Now on with the show. Hello, and welcome to the newest episode of ListCast. Tonight, we're going to do top 5 movies that most people hated, but we like. And these are movies that either people actually openly despise, or are critically slammed, or financially were failures, but still we think are good movies, and genuinely like and think are good. So, that said, let's go ahead and hear your number 5.
My number 5 is the sequel to The Wizard of Oz, Return to Oz.
Okay.
I know you don't like this very much.
I don't care for it, no.
Now, I don't know if it's universally loathed.
I don't think it's liked.
But I don't think it's liked. But I definitely know there was some hype, or not hype, there was a lot of expectation when you're trying to follow up the classic Wizard of Oz. Now, this movie came out like in the 80s, so there'd been a significant amount of time between that
about
and
this. About 50 years.
Yeah, and you can imagine there'd be a lot of buildup, you know, for expectation, you know, and this movie tried to play it more close to the...
It went the dark route.
Well, it went the dark route, but I think it tried to pay more attention to the actual source material it was based
right on.
And, yeah, make it more dark, not more kid-friendly, but just follow that material. Right away, the movie has a much more darker, ominous feel about things. And so she goes back to Oz, and the movie has a completely different look, completely different style. She meets new characters like TikTok, you know.
Right.
She has to wind him up, and Jack Pumpkinhead.
You're a madman. Well, good morning, little girl.
Good morning, sir.
Are you Dorothy Gale?
Yes, sir.
Pleased to meet you. I am Tik-Tok, the Royal Army of Oz. His Majesty the Scarecrow locked me in here and told me to wait for you.
What happened to the Emerald City? And where is the Scarecrow?
I do not know. Suddenly everything living began to turn to stone. When you did not arrive, I called for help until my voice ran down. Then I paced back and forth until my action ran down. Then I stood and thought until my thought ran down. After that, I remember nothing until you wound me up. Thank you.
You know, this movie is not great. I will not give it, like, an A-plus rating or anything of the kind. But it has nostalgic value for me. I look back on it, and it reminds me of my youth. That's
okay.
All I want to say.
All right.
That's
all
my
right,
number
right.
five. What's your number 5?
All right. My number 5, it's the kind of thing that would more obviously be a number 1. So I'm just going to get it out of the way. And that is Ishtar. And Ishtar, of course, is in the annals of movie history regarded as one of the worst movies ever made.
Very unfairly so.
Extremely unfairly so. I don't like this movie because it's a guilty pleasure or things like that. I think it's a good movie. I think it was way ahead of its time, and as such, was misunderstood, greatly misunderstood. I think if you re-release that movie now, didn't touch a thing, I think you may not have a blockbuster on your hands, but you'd have a good movie. I think you could reshoot, shot for shot, line for line, redo this movie with Will Ferrell.
Will Smith, that'd be funny.
With Will Ferrell and, you know, someone else.
And that's what I call a close encounter.
Well, you could do this with Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. John C. Reilly would be perfect for a movie like this.
Didn't they do a movie together?
Didn't they?
Step Brothers. Step Brothers.
Okay, perfect. Put those two in this movie, you have $100 million hit. I just think it was way ahead of its time, and I think it's fucking hilarious. I don't think people knew it was supposed to be funny. That's why I think it didn't work. It is damn funny.
Okay, now, for anybody who hasn't seen it, which is probably a lot,
it stars
Dustin Hoffman
and Warren Beatty.
Beatty.
Both of them playing completely against type. particularly at that point in their career, playing two
songwriters, hapless, very hapless,
down and out.
And they're horrible songwriters.
They don't know
that they're bad.
No, they think they're good.
They have such passion for what they do.
Yes, that's why it works. That's why when, I don't want to say the dramatic parts of the movie, but when the perilous moments of the movie come by, you're genuinely interested because you do like these characters. They're bad at what they do, and that's where the humor is, but they're not, it's not a farce. They are genuinely trying to do it. They're just not good at it. They're both extremely likable characters. And the two of them together, I think, had fantastic chemistry.
Oh, I agree.
Those guys were great. I mean, I would love to see them do some sort of buddy thing again, because those guys just, I believe that they were friends, that they loved each other, you know?
Chuck, I know how bad you feel, but there's people in this world worse off than you. Poor people, you sick people. People who haven't got anybody to go out on a ledge for them. Come on, give me your hand. Come on, Chuck. Take a little step here. Take a step. Take a couple steppies. Come on. Couple little steppies. Atta boy.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Lyle?
Yeah?
Oh, my God.
No!
Lyle?
Uh-huh?
Are you disappointed in me?
No.
No, I mean, because I'm not the kind of guy that you thought I was.
You are the kind of guy I thought you were.
I'm not, Lyle.
I lived with my parents till I was 32. I've just dribbled my life away.
Hey. It takes a lot of nerve to have nothing at your age. Don't you understand that? Yeah, most guys would be ashamed. But you've got the guts to just say the hell with it. You say that you'd rather have nothing than settle for less. You understand?
I never thought of it that way.
Yes.
Poor Lyle.
A genuinely misunderstood movie. I knew you'd probably expect me to bring it up, so...
My number four might be on your list, The Postman.
I knew you were going to. That's my number two, you dick.
I don't mean to take it off your list.
Well,
but
I've done it to you a number of times.
Any movie, anything
list like this.
Any list like this is going to have The Postman on it. Nobody, okay, outside of you, I have met one other person that does like The Postman, but most other people will this throw this movie in the trash and, you know, veg out looking at a white wall and actually watch it. I remember when I first saw it, it did have that aura of being a bad film. It was like critically panned and people didn't like it. It kind of bombed at the box office. First watched it with you, and I remember liking it okay. It was like, it was all right. I remember thinking it was a bit long, but I've seen this movie a lot. I've watched it many times all the way through, and it's not a small movie. You know, Kevin Costner likes to do these big epic movies. And this is a movie I really will get behind and say, it's not bad.
No, it's not.
It is. I don't know why people don't like this movie.
I think people don't like it because, A, it's post-apocalyptic. And something about those movies, I think, tend to turn people away.
Yeah, and it does have some cheesy moments, I believe.
There are some slight cheesy moments.
Like, the ending.
It's long.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not Braveheart long, where every 30 minutes there's a big battle scene or something, or nudie girls on the screen.
He was captured on the Oregon border. Who the hell are you? Carrier 12.
United States Postal Service.
I want the camp struck at dawn. Well, we're moving north.
You spelled tyranny wrong.
It is a slow burn that is meant to follow this character through a journey. Now, personally, My beef with this movie, dude, my beef with this movie is the very end. I mean, after their fight and
that's
all that
what
stuff,
I just said, the end, the denouement.
Yeah. I don't, what were they thinking?
It was totally unnecessary.
Not only that, it makes no sense.
It's like 20 years later and everything looks normal again.
And they've got boats and things like that. And we're not talking like rickety
boats.
No,
it's in St. Rose, which is where he was wanting to go throughout the whole movie. And everything is perfectly back to normal.
As if in 20 years society has rebuilt to the point where you would never know that there was some sort of nuclear fallout.
Everything looks perfect, like there was never a war. They were never.
They're literally at a marina with never beautiful living in rags and whatnot. Sailing ships. Yeah. And they're like, okie dokie.
Yeah, that's what I mentioned is like problems with the movie, cheesy moments. The ending was my
that to problem. Me is just the thing. I would like to see that go. Other than that, I love it.
Whatever. I just pretend that doesn't exist when I watch the movie.
Just hit
but,
stop.
Yeah.
Okay, on to my number four.
Okay.
Star Trek V.
Star Trek V.
Obviously considered next to Insurrection the worst Star Trek movie. I'll narrow it down to say the worst of the original series Trek movies, right?
I wouldn't. Okay. I mean,
I think it's a good movie. I don't think it's a great movie.
Everybody does think it sucks, but I wouldn't really
it's
say
it's got elements of it that suck.
I wouldn't really say I like it either. You know, I'll get
when
behind
they cut
it,
to anything having to do with Spock, Bones, and Kirk. I'm completely engaged by it.
Do you know row your boat?
Well, tell me, Spock, what do we do after we toast the marshmallow?
We consume them.
I know we consume them. I mean, after that.
Oh. I believe we are required to engage in a ritual known as the sing-along.
That's great. I haven't sung around a campfire since I was a boy in Iowa. What are we going to sing? What, Bones, what are we going to sing?
How about Camptown Races?
Pack up your troubles.
Are we leaving, Captain? It's a song title, Spock.
Moon over Rigel 7.
Row, row, row your boat.
Row, row, row your boat. I love row. Do you know row, 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 row your boat?
That song did not come up in my research, Captain.
The lyrics are very simple. It's row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. The doctor and I will start it off, and then when we give you a signal, you jump in. Doctor, if you please.
Don't say I didn't warn you. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream.
Row,
merrily,
row,
merrily,
row
merrily,
your
merrily,
boat
merrily,
gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 merrily. Come on, Spock. Why didn't you jump in?
I was trying to comprehend the meaning of the words. It's a song, you green-blooded Vulcan. You sing it. The words aren't important. What's important is that you have a good time singing it.
Oh, I am sorry, Doctor.
We'll be having a good time.
God, I liked him better before he died. All right. Let's call it a night. Let's go to bed and let's get some sleep.
Largely the stuff with the main villain. When he's kind of doing his stuff. I like that. I don't like a lot of the production value of the movie, things like that.
Yeah, the movie was kind of
But this movie really was the closest they ever got to capturing what the original series was like. And
yeah, I see what you mean.
And then it was
it's
really
definitely
about these
not as
guys.
Bad as people make it.
No,
out to
it
be.
Is not.
No.
I am not saying this is actually a great movie by any stretch, but I'm saying it's a good movie. Unfortunately, the production value does really hold you back. It's got a finale that really kind of doesn't. It kind of falls flat, but by and large, it's actually not a bad movie. It's kind of a good movie. You know, it's got great character moments. Some good dialogue bits, particularly between the three of them. The scene where Cybok directly confronts Spock, Bones, and Kirk in the lounge that's a great scene. That is a great scene.
I will admit, if you break the movie down, not as
kind of a scene, it's great.
Take it out
scenes.
Of its hole and break it into to moments. Yeah, there are some. Sure.
Yeah. Like I said, not a great movie, just good. Okay, yeah. Number three.
I'm going to switch it up a little bit here. I'm going to put my number three into the honorable mention category and go with one.
Spit it out.
Cabin Fever. Now, see, there you go. That's the reaction I get when I mention Cabin Fever. I am not a horror fan. I am not into that genre. Never watched horror. I don't know what it was. Just wasn't a genre I ever got into. And maybe that's why I liked Cabin Fever. You know, it's kind of a... It's a horror comedy almost. There's a lot of comedic moments in there. It's basically a send-off of horror films. It's a little smarter than that. It's not a slasher movie or anything like that. It's a flesh-eating virus, which is something that's actually very real.
Right.
And they all catch this disease and becomes like a disease movie. As a genre picture, especially in that, I find myself really liking it. And whenever I bring it up, people are just like,
I'll give you that, that the idea that it was not a slasher movie, like with a bad guy.
Yeah.
There were bad guys in it, but that wasn't the villain. That the villain was something you couldn't see.
Yeah, it wasn't
that
tangible.
I'll admit, was a good stroke.
But yeah, I mean, and basically these people, these kids, they all just turn on each other. And it's basically, it comes down to just, you know, survival, you know, who's going to live through this fucking nightmare they got themselves into. But whenever I mention it, people just dismiss it as this stupid and ugh, you know, and...
Hello? Somebody help! Hello?
What the hell happened to you?
My friend, she's sick.
You don't look so good.
I know, there's this disease. I think all my friends are getting it. Do you just know where a hospital is around or something?
Yeah. Stay right there. Don't come any closer. I'll get a doctor.
Thanks.
Pancakes! Pancakes!
No pancakes.
Pancakes!
No pancakes!
What you done?
Just need a doctor, okay?
What you done to this poor boy? What's he done to you?
Just need a fucking doctor, man!
I already lost one boy. I ain't losing another. Now, what if the doctors can't fix my boy? You get my boy sick, it's the same as killing him. It's murder.
What?
You being sick, that's your problem. Now, Dennis is sick. That's my problem. And if I get sick, that's Lucille's problem. So we got to stop the problem. We got to stop the problem right now! Dexter, rifle!
Fuck you, man!
I admit, it's not a perfect film, it's not a great film, but I really like it. I own it, and as a kind of scary movie, you know, I don't own many, and that's one that I own and I cherish.
You know, I watched it. I thought it was okay. You know, it kept my interest, but just barely. You know, that there were kind of enough comedic moments to kind of keep me going a little bit. The flesh-eating part, I did like that. I liked the payoff at the end with the guy getting blasted by the cops.
It's like, I made it! I made it!
Yeah, that was great. Right. I did not see that coming to save my life. And I think my reaction to that was what it should have been, which was that you laugh and you smile that this guy's eating it because you don't like him because he's a dick.
Such a dick.
So, you know, I mean, I get what you're saying. I get you. I'm not saying it's bad. I just, you know, it kind of was just kind of whatever to me. But I see what you're saying.
I just think it did a really good job.
I've never heard people slam it, though.
Oh, I have. I think it just did a really good job taking those kind of horror movie conventions, you know, and just turning them upside down and playing them as much of a strength as they could.
I see what you're saying.
But anyway, what's your number three?
Here goes Joe Dirt. I think
Does everyone really hate this movie? I don't agree with
okay,
you on that.
That's why I kind of...
I think people like it.
That's why I gave this expanded explanation at the beginning when we explained what qualified this. I don't think, and I could be wrong, but I don't think this was a financial success.
I think it did modest business.
I love this movie.
I think you would say people don't give it enough credit. Like, it's smarter than people think.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I would definitely say that, for sure. I think this is a smart movie. I think it's funny as hell. I don't think it's one of those so bad it's good movies. I think it's genuinely funny. I think it's smartly written. It's not funny by accident. They knew what they were doing. David Spade was on the top of his game with this. He created a character.
Well, he had such... He has such heart, and
such
what is
earnest
it that
heart.
Dennis Miller says, he has a line in the movie where he says, you were so upbeat about your plight, and that's why you pulled for him, because no matter how much dirt is thrown into this guy's face, his name is Dirt,
he just keeps
coming back up. You know, life's a garden, dig it, you know, he just...
Don't you get it, man? Stinky stuff is your milieu, okay? This is your deal. You are an underachievement nexus in the universe, and it's always going to be like this, Joey.
No, man, but you got to keep going. What am I going to do, quit? That's not an option. You got to keep on keeping on. Life's a garden, dig it? You make it work for you. You never give up, man. That's my philosophy. You hear that in there?
And you know, the thing that drives me crazy and fascinates me at the same time is you are so unrelentingly upbeat about your plight. I need more, man. I'll be honest with you. I want to see you in here tomorrow. I want to hear more of the saga of Joe Dirt.
All right. Thanks, you guys.
All right, Joe.
And the thing is something about David Spade transcended those lines. You know, those could have been delivered by someone else and just kind of been throwaways, you know, and you wouldn't have invested emotionally in this character. But you actually invest with Joe Dirt, this white trash, dumb as a box of rocks guy who lives his life by heart, you know, rather than by brains. Something about that is extremely endearing. And if it wasn't for that quality that he brought to it, I don't think this movie
would have
been
as good.
Well,
there's always the endearing quality of the underdog, you know.
Yeah, but I'm saying something about him went even just beyond that. I mean, he was just a very likable guy. I don't think it's given the respect it deserves. Because unfortunately, like in trailer form, it comes off as really stupid.
Oh, definitely.
It's not.
That's the impression I had.
Oh, yeah. And I can't blame it. It does not lend itself to a trailer and showing it the smartness of it. Well, go do your number two.
Okay. Number two, I'm going to have to go with Zathura.
All right. Go. God.
I don't know why you don't like Zathura.
Dude, I don't know what it is. Something about that movie. I got 15 minutes in and I couldn't fucking stand it.
I like Zathura, man. I mean, it's kind of the pseudo sequel to Jumanji, but fuck Jumanji.
Yeah, and I didn't like that either.
I didn't really like Jumanji either, but there's something about this movie. It was directed by Jon Favreau. Zathura is, like I said, kind of a pseudo sequel to Jumanji.
Almost remake.
Yeah, kind of, but this movie is much smarter than that. And the production values and the effects are really good. And the kids in there, I mean, one of them is Josh Hutcherson.
Don't like that kid.
Some, you either like him or you don't. He was in another great movie called Bridge of Terabithia.
Didn't like him in that either.
That movie rules. But
I did, however, like him in Firehouse Dog.
Well, I've never seen that, but whatever. You're trashing mine in the Firehouse Dog. Okay. Well, it was his brother. That kid got a little annoying after a while, but it's just them, you know, rolling the dice, taking out cards, and then these scenarios pop up. You know, like, you know, meteor shower or aliens, you know, and a giant robot.
A card came out. Fascinating. Meet or shoe. Read this for me. Meteor shower, take evasive action. What's evasive action? It's when you get out of the way of something. What exactly am I supposed to get out of the way of, exactly? I have no idea. All it says is take evasive...
This is a movie that plays on kind of old-style special effects, where this robot is basically there. You know, there's some CG work in there, but the robot looks kind of old-fashioned, you know, it looks really good. And the aliens are not CG aliens. They're actually, you know,
guys
in suits, but they look really good.
Right.
And so do these spaceship shots they have. It's much more kid-friendly than Jumanji, I think, because the danger was really played in a way that you really felt they could get hurt in Jumanji. In Zathura, you felt everything would be kind of okay. Like, these kids weren't really going to get hurt. But not a perfect film, but I really dug it. And I think people really didn't respond to it for some reason. I don't know why. I really enjoy it.
I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, but man, I did not warm to that movie. I mean, I have very seldom actually turned a movie off, and
not,
I couldn't.
You're not the only one, apparently.
Make myself finish it.
I think it's just a fun adventure movie. You know, kid friendly adventure movie.
All right, my number one. Oh boy, this goes right into a series of movies that were made by a director that people are now starting. His name is almost becoming a joke, I think, because he had early success and then ended up doing a couple of movies that tanked financially. And this was one of them. Most people do not like it. And for the life of me, I don't know why, because I think it's a really good movie. And that is The Village.
That movie sucks.
Exactly. I don't get it. I don't get why people think... It's not
you're
like
gonna,
people go,
okay,
yeah,
justify,
okay.
Brother.
People don't just go, blah, 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 it's all right. People go, no, that movie sucks ass.
I am not an M. Night Shyamalan fan.
I never have been. I'm not a fan.
I like The Sixth Sense. I like Unbreakable.
Unbreakable was fucking
Signs
great.
Was all right.
Signs was good. I love Signs.
When The Village came out, I was just like, whatever, what is this movie?
Most of the like I have for this movie comes from The Girl.
The Girl? Okay, I admit, I like her.
She is magnetic in this movie.
She is. She does have a good quality.
I mean, but and she's pretty much in every scene.
But that's
I can't
it.
Take
that's
my
the only saving
off.
Grace of that whole movie.
Oh, no, man, give it some freaking credit.
Don't give me Adrian Brody playing a retard.
Adrian Brody, man, that dude creeps me the fuck out in that
I
movie.
Saw that fucking twist ending coming from a fucking mile away.
I don't know why.
That movie's fucking bullshit.
I'm thick. I didn't see it coming.
Jesus
as
Christ.
When she went over, like when she got to the wall, that's when it clicked. I'm like, oh, I get it now. What's going to be on the other side? I get it. Up until she got to that wall, I seriously had no freaking clue what was going on. And then, of course, they had it telegraphed to you, which almost I kind of wish they hadn't, as far as how the, you know, the older people set up the thing.
My sister did not live past her 23rd birthday. A group of men raped and killed her. They stuffed her in a dumpster. 3 blocks from our apartment.
My brother worked in an emergency room downtown. A drug addict came in with a wound to his ribs. My brother tried to dress the wound. He pulled a gun from his jacket, and he shot my brother through his left eye.
My husband, Michael, left for the supermarket at 9:15 in the morning. He was found with no money and no clothes in the East River 3 days later.
My father was shot by a business partner who then hanged himself in my father's closet. They had argued over money. I am a professor. I teach American history at the University of Pennsylvania. I have an idea that I would like to talk to you about.
I didn't see it coming. I don't see, having rewatched it, how you could see it coming. How you could know that they're not in this, like, old time.
Ugh.
I thought it was great. I thought it was great.
Whatever.
Great. I'm not saying I, like, love the movie. I loved her. Loved her. We'll rewatch that movie constantly just for her.
I remember when I first saw that movie, like, in your DVD collection. I was like, I want to bitch slap you.
I like the movie. I think it is a good movie. Again, not a guilty pleasure. I think it's a good movie. I don't know what all the hate for this movie is. I don't get it. I genuinely don't know what people are seeing.
I don't have a lot of hatred for it because I really don't care either way. Because I wasn't in anticipation of the movie like some people were, but
I just liked it. I thought it was good. I mean, I'm sick to death of Shyamalan trying to do all these trick endings and shit.
Yeah.
But I don't think this movie's necessarily a trick ending as much as it is as a reveal. Whereas Sixth Sense tried to trick you so you wouldn't figure it out. This, you know, I mean, the concept of what the world that these people created was for the characters, not for the audience. You know, the audience was just let in on it later.
You're kind of making me want to watch this, but I don't know why I hate it.
It's a good movie. The performances are good.
I had no problem with the performances per se, but
what's the problem?
The story was completely obvious.
The story? Funny farm.
Yeah. It was just completely obvious.
How did I not see it?
I don't know how you didn't see it. I saw it coming.
What in that movie gives you any friggin' clue that they're in the modern times? What? Did I not see?
I don't remember. I've seen the movie once, but I saw it, like, coming probably, like, halfway through, if not earlier.
How?
I don't remember. I saw it once, like, 10 years ago.
I don't get it. People say that they saw it coming, and I don't get it.
Maybe it's just you were, you know, you had a... Maybe sleepy day that day and you were kind of partially unconscious. I don't know,
but damn, man, I don't think there's anything in that movie that gives it away if you don't go into it knowing that there's some sort of reveal, you know.
Well, you would have known there would have been some kind of twist. It's a Shyamalan.
Yeah, but I mean, I expected the twist to be something to do with the things that they do not talk about, which there was a twist, but that wasn't the big twist, you know. I like it. I think it's a good movie, man.
I'll let you go to your desert island and be stranded. If you want to take one movie, you can take the fucking village.
It's not going
to
be that, but I think it's a good movie.
Well, you can cherish it all by yourself.
I knew I was going to get flack for that.
Well, that was a good number one. It's a good place, number one.
All right.
Can't beat that caliber. That was controversial. My number one... Like I just said, with Zathura, I have a weakness for space movies. And we just brought this up tonight. Red Planet.
Okay, dude. Go ahead. I'll bash you as you start going.
Now, Red Planet is one of those companion movies where it has a companion piece called Mission to Mars.
Where two movies were released.
In the same year. Like Tombstone had Wyatt Earp, Volcano had Dante's Peak. So it's a companion.
Armageddon kind of had Deep Impact.
Deep Impact, you know. Red Planet now is much better than Mission to Mars, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a better tasting shit than Red Mar or Mission to Mars. But it's shit.
I wouldn't.
It's not a good movie. It's not a good movie.
Well, you just said The Village, so fuck you. Now let me,
dude.
This
is not a good movie. This is a guilty pleasure.
I wouldn't call this guilty pleasure.
Yeah,
almost.
You can't because it's not good.
Almost guilty pleasure.
Give me one scene in that movie that's good. One. That's well written.
The scene where they run out of oxygen and they're about to die.
All right.
That is a good scene.
That's kind of a good scene. But you know what? But you know what? There's 30 minutes of suck that preceded.
I think, I'm not saying this is a great film, but I wouldn't call it a guilty pleasure. It's almost kind of like an old sci-fi kind of like 1950s-esque kind of movie. It's not...
Have watched this movie once, all the way through, and I've caught bits of it here and there. I do find myself kind of attracted to it, but only because some of it is so bad, and it had such potential, you know, and I want to see through it, but I acknowledge the fact that
I think
it's
if you just look
good.
At it like as an old kind of throwback sci-fi adventure film, you know, and just enjoy it on that level, which I think is what they were doing, you can enjoy it. Now,
right,
the
dude.
Movie boasts some pretty good special effects to build. All right, you know?
Okay. 5 minutes into the movie, I knew I was in trouble when Carrie Ann Moss is voice-overing the beginning of the movie, introducing everyone, and telling us exactly how we are supposed to think and feel towards the main character of
this
movie.
I did not say this movie was smart.
I knew we were screwed.
The international community has thrown all of its resources behind us. It's the greatest undertaking man has ever attempted. Our ship, Mars One, is too massive to launch from the surface of the planet, and we've shuttled here to the high orbit space station for a low gravity launch to begin our 6-month trip. The first manned mission to Mars. The hope and survival of mankind rests on us. But I know we'll solve the problem, because the best scientific minds are going there to figure out the answer. And I'm leading the mission. I'm Bowman, pilot and mission commander. Chantilis, chief science officer and the soul of the crew. Santin, a hothead but a fine co-pilot. Gallagher, our mechanical systems engineer, maintenance. Frankly, not my first choice. The two civilian members of the team are Birchnell, one of the world's leading bioengineers and his own greatest hero. Pettengill, terraforming expert and last-minute replacement on the science team. And packed away in her box, Amy, autonomous mapping, exploration, and evasion, a multitask robot on loan from the Marines. In other words, our Mars surface navigator. We're the first travelers to another planet. It's another giant leap for mankind. And if we don't figure out what's wrong on Mars, it could be our last.
I further knew I was fucked for the rest of this movie about 10 minutes in when they get to the surface and General Zod had injuries and goes off to die. And he reflects back on his life. And he remembers the last 5 minutes of the movie with such affection. I knew we were fucked because there was going to be no character in this movie. I knew we were screwed. Big time. I like Val Kilmer.
So do I.
I like Carrie Ann Moss. She's actually more than what she was in The Matrix. I've seen her in other things. She's actually quite capable. And again, it had potential. It had potential. And I think that's what hurts, man. It hurts. You know, it has kind of a cool look to it. I'll give you that. But, damn, it's not a good movie.
Like I said, I enjoy it. No.
Guilty pleasure.
It's not a guilty pleasure. I enjoy it on a different level. Just as a throwback to no-brainer sci-fi movie. That's
you know, maybe I would have liked that movie more if it didn't have that stupid friggin' robot in it.
That robot,
droid thing.
Even though the effects were good with the robot,
yeah,
it was kind of a weak plot point.
It was extremely weak.
I admit on that. Well, you know, I have a weakness for Mars movies.
Yes,
and
we
if
know.
It's got Mars in it, I like it, you know, for some reason. I don't know why.
Get your ass to Mars.
I don't know why. That's why I can still watch Mission to Mars, even though it's kind of a bad movie.
Oh, I know. But believe it or not, dude, I'm sucked in by Mission to Mars just because it's so friggin' bad. I'm, like, sucked in by its badness.
Yeah.
I've never seen Gary Sinise act so badly as he did in this movie. Tim Robbins, who otherwise I could watch in anything.
Yeah.
He sucks. Sucks in this movie. Just awful. Don Cheadle. He's actually kind of all right in this movie. You know, a little over the top.
He does okay with what he's given.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, he did the most he could. You know, but they all were so hammily acting. Cheadle almost makes it believable.
Yeah.
Almost,
but not quite.
Yeah, Mission to Mars is 2001.
Dumbed down
99%.
Well,
I'm glad we got to argue over our number ones. That was fun. And just insult each other.
Well, I still don't think Red Planet's that bad.
Well, I don't think it's that great either.
Well, The Village sucks my balls.
You're stupid.
Now you have no other
honorable. I have no honorable mentions.
I have a few. Let's see, Dumb and Dumberer. Now I would almost label that as guilty pleasure.
Because you know what? I laughed 2 times in that movie.
But for some reason, this movie has rewatchability for me.
If
I don't
it
know
makes you laugh,
because the two guys have a lot of chemistry.
They do. You know what? And I've talked to you about this. I love the guy that plays
Lloyd.
That guy is friggin' great. I really want to see him get more parts.
Yeah.
I get what you mean with him. He is good. And you want to like him.
If you don't compare it to the first Dumb and Dumber, which isn't even that great to begin with.
It's funny.
It is funny, but it's not as funny as people thought.
Yeah, it is.
And you just look at the movie as a separate entity. I think it's funny.
Pretty Bird.
Petey Bird. My other one. My other one, which I'm surprised you
Samsonite.
Having a, you cracking yourself up there, pal?
My other one,
I'm surprised you didn't think of, was Solaris.
You know what? That was, I put that on a list of like hidden gems. I just didn't. Bring
I don't
it
think
up.
It's a hidden gem to me.
That's why I didn't because ultimately mention it because I was kind of on the fence.
When I mentioned this to people, a lot of people were like, "Oh, that movie's so boring." And I remember being very enthralled when I watched that movie.
I think Solaris is genius, man.
One of Clooney's best performances.
Yeah, I think that movie really deserves to be seen.
Definitely.
It will never be because it is not something that is going to be a mass audience draw because it's slow and it's not a lot of talking.
I don't like saying, oh, you don't get it. People just, I would say, didn't get into it. I mean, yeah, a movie will either speak to you or it won't. Yeah, yeah. And this story kind of spoke to me, and I really got into it. It's a character piece.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And it's not a fast-paced story. Nope. You really have to get into the mind of George Clooney's character, and I think they did a great job doing it, you know? And I haven't seen the original Solaris, or I haven't read the book either.
I haven't either, no. All right, well.
Yeah.
It certainly got lively there in our last couple of choices.
Yeah.
That was quite enjoyable. So that wraps up this episode.
Of movies everyone hated but you liked.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm Josh. So long.
And I'm Justin. Talk to you later.
What is it?
I think they're wonderful.
Telling the truth can be dangerous business. Honest and popular don't go hand in hand. If you admit that you can play the accordion, no one will hire you in a rock and roll band. But we can sing our hearts out
all night.
And if we're lucky, then no neighbors complain. Nobody knows where the beginning part starts out. But being human, we can live with the pain. Because life is the way. Audition for God. Let us pray that we all get the job. Crying out loud gets you pointed and laughed at. Be like a baby, only babies should cry. Somebody tell me how that rumor got started. Some things I know that